Well, good evening, friends and family, and yes, you did hear me correctly. It is evening. It is actually evening of, September the 17th, and I'm doing an evening talk, a sunset talk, if you will, rather than a garden talk, because I'm at the beach with some dear, dear friends. It's a real privilege to be here. I'm actually on top of what they used to call a widow's walk on a lovely oceanfront home. Just a real lavish time here, and during when I would normally do my garden talk on a Sunday morning, I'll actually be driving the 3 hours back up the road to Washington. But I'm very, very thankful to be with you, and I tell you a couple of real privileged moments. And before we go down Route 316, I'm going to take you down memory lane a bit. And memory lane for me is that the Bible that I'm using to read from today is owned by a dear brother named Tall Broom, whom I met my freshman year at UNC, and I met Tall, and I met Jeff, and I met Mark Edwards, and many more besides. Bill Mann was already there, who was a dear friend, who was a Christ follower from my early days. And since those days, 41 years ago, there have been so many other men for whom I'm so thankful. My Thursday morning group at Good Shepherd, and men like Robert Eubank and Jack Midget and Joe Barta and Ed Gibson and Mark Silito and Mark Colley and Mark Hamblin. And I'm leaving somebody out, I know, but don't get your feelings hurt just because the Lord has lavished me with these connectional relationships. And in doing so, I'm reading from Tall's Bible, and Tall was one of the first men that I met who loved the same kind of music and the same kind of sports and the same kind of jokes that I did, and yet read his Bible every day. It was in God's Word, was in Route 316, and even as I open his Bible today, because I was reading from my screen and I left mine back in Washington, and it's just a real privilege to be in the Word, particularly in the Word with a shared brother. So, Father, I give you thanks for the journey, and I pray that my hearers today, Lord, if they feel lonely, if they feel discouraged, if they feel out of touch with community, just remind them by the power of your Spirit and the presence of your Son that the community is possible, and that to go out and to gather and to seek fellowship, and to know that the amazing economy of your grace, O Lord, is that you can build relationships in you so very quickly, and that these are safe places to go. So, Lord, guide us, direct us, give me insights. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be precious in your sight, for you are rock and you are redeemer. Amen. So today's 316, if you've been following this 316 series, we're going through a series of messages that relate to the chapter 3, verse 16 of God's Word. Today's 316, I'm just going to lay it on you because it's a hard one, and we're going to do content, context, and character yet again, but it basically says this. It says, Lamentations 3:16, He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. So we're going to look at who the He is and what this gravel road looks like and what being trampled is all about, and know that God's Word is all Spirit-breathed and shaped for encouragement and correction, and let's extract messages for it. But before we go down the gravel road, I'm going to go down memory lane a bit more and ask this question. What are some things in your memory lane, things that your grandma would say, words of wisdom? Maybe it's a grandpa, but they tend to get more attributed to grandmas. And one of the ones that I recall, and it could have been my father's or my mother's mothers, but the old adage, nothing good happens after midnight. You may have heard that one before. Another one, you're leaving home with a good name. Bring it back. And here's this one. If you can't say anything at all, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So, you know, I don't know if you practice that or were encouraged in that or the whole count to 10 adage, but the writer of Lamentations violates that pretty significantly. And we're going to read 18 verses of just gripes against God, because the He in the He has broken my teeth on gravel is the Lord. He has trampled me in the dust. And Lamentations historically is a collection of five poetic gripes in the midst of exile for God's people. And we begin today with asking the question, is it okay to gripe to God? Is it okay to gripe to God, or do we have to be positive all the time? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Chapter 3. Don't want to throw the wet blanket on you, for there is always hope in the Lord. And that's we're not going to get there too quick, but there's always hope in the Lord. Chapter 3 of Lamentations begins, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down in chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow, made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. To verse 16, which I led with, he has broken my teeth with gravel, has trampled me in the dust. I've been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I hoped from the Lord. So what are your gravel roads? It's okay to look back. You know, I remember an elementary school student going to Park Oak Elementary in Charlotte, had a sweet banana seat Schwinn bicycle. And I remember, I think I flew over the handlebars one time and literally ate some gravel. And we've got some literal stories, but I want to let you know what I just read was from the Bible. And the writer, you know, shared, he just spewed out all his negativity to God. He, you know, you could get on the ABCs of negativity. A was for affliction, B was for bitterness, C is for crickets, meaning God was silent in the midst of his groanings and his prayers. D is for darkness. E is for enemies, lions and bears that are out to mangle him. F is for fatigue. He's clearly weighed down and worn out. G, for gravel in my teeth. You know, friends, God can take it. He can take tire kicking. He can take following before believing. He can take griping. He can take lamenting. And yet, the reality of a walk with the Lord is not to stay in the downtrodden place. It's not to stay, as Psalm 37 says, in the land of fretting. But is this an accurate reflection of your reality, that your circumstances may be such that you feel like you've got the affliction, the bitterness, the crickets, the darkness, the enemies, the fatigue, the gravel? And we could probably go from G, H-I-J-K, L-M-N-O-P, and find catchy little phrases that reflect some of the hardship that we experience. For this writer, and for many of us, we experience places where peace, prosperity, popularity, position, all gone. So what now? You know, what do you do on the gravel road? Do you just forget? Do you just forgive? Do you, how does that work out? How does that work out as the lamenter? Well, here's what the writer of Lamentations does. And these are the familiar passages, and these are the fun passages out of that chapter 3 when you get past verse 18. See if this connects and sounds familiar. So I say, my splendor's gone, all that I had hoped from the Lord. Verse 19, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a young man to bear the yoke while he is young. So here's a lamenter. We don't use the word lament, but we use the word gripe, complain, grievance. You know, it's Larry the lamenter, Louise the lamenter. And what do you remember in your story? What affliction do you remember? It's okay to go back. It's okay for me to go back to remember, you know, afflictions I brought on myself. It's good for me to go back to college and remember not being, you know, accepted at my father's fraternity. It's okay to go back and remember being cut by a basketball team. It's okay to go back and remember, you know, the premature death of a grandfather. It's okay to go back and remember the hardship I brought on myself with poor choices and with mistruth and with betrayal and denials. And this lamenter says this. He says, I will remember them. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast. It's okay to not be okay. And that's what we strive for at Good Shepherd, not to be a big pity party, but to be a safe space for folks in all manner of situations to walk in our doors and hopefully find encouragement. But instead of the fret, and I believe Psalm 37, fret is defined as perpetual funk in the face of ongoing adversity. Instead of a fret, there is a yet. See what I'm doing here? Instead of a fret, there is a yet. So what is the yet of Lamentations 3? Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Okay, in a wedding last week, in Colossians 3, there was a therefore as God's chosen people. And I encourage the wedding party and the bride and groom to listen up to what the therefore was there for. What's the therefore there for? What's the transition that this therefore is saying? 18 verses, griping and moaning and bemoaning, hardship of every sort. And there's a turning point, there's a transition point, and it's an intentional turning point. There's a yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What's the this? What is the this? What's the intentionality? What's the oasis in the desert? What's the waterfall at the end of the gravel road? You know, I remember a literal gravel road that a high school friend, Greg Bayer, and I were on in South Dakota some, 40 years ago. And, you know, we had our Rand McNally Road Atlas, and we thought this particular green line on our map would be a nice paved secondary road, but instead it was a gravel road that lasted about 70 miles. But, you know, and it wasn't fun. It got his new car dirty. You know, you could still go 40 or 50 miles an hour, but it was not the smooth sailing that we'd anticipated. And, you know, but at the end of it, you know, the spectacular badlands of South Dakota, at the end of it, the Mount Rushmore, you know, emerged. And there was an oasis. There was a payoff at the end of the gravel road. And sometimes we feel like the gravel road is perpetual. But the psalmist here, the lamenter here, says this: this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. So don't blow past that too quick. Ask yourself the question: where in my life have I seen the Lord's great love? Has He abandoned me in hardship? Has He given me family and friends? Has He provided me with provision and with shelter and with joyful moments? You know, where's the Lord's great love in your life? If you're listening to this message, He's got your attention. You're not going to randomly find the Church of the Good Shepherd Washington website or be on my email list if you're not awakened to the Lord's presence, but you may be discouraged. And one of the lessons from this passage in Lamentations today is to raise this question: yet, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. You know, where else do we hear about compassion in Scripture? Jesus in the Gospels is recorded as He had compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. It's a compassion versus a passion. Compassion strikes me as passion of comfort, passion to come into broken world and make right, passion for broken Jerusalem, which would not receive Him and ultimately crucify Him. And Jesus, going into Jerusalem, had compassion for those who would torture and kill and mock Him. And He wept for them. So Jesus had compassion, and that's what we're called to remember. Great love, great compassion. But what do you, what do you call to mind and have hope? Because of the Lord's great love. And hope, again, think about what hope means. Hope is not wishful thinking here. It's that anchor behind the veil. It's the lifeline to eternity. Do you have at your disposal, based upon your intentional seeking of truth and wisdom, something to call on for hope or someone to call on? When you're on the gravel road, you know, the temptation is just to call other travelers on the gravel road and say, hey, isn't life miserable? But instead, find people from whom you can borrow the map to joy, who've been down their own gravel roads. How did you do it? Where did you find encouragement? You know, man, I'm at the end of my hope, I'm at the end of my rope, and I need encouragement. We're made to be relational for just such those moments. The writer continues, because of the Lord's love, great love, we are not consumed. We're not consumed. And the fire burns away the chaff, it burns away the insignificant. And we go into this promise: for great is your faithfulness. Let's do a compare and contrast. It's good sometimes to think about God the Creator and us as the creatures. And how does our faithfulness work out? Well, you know, for many of you who know my story, I mean, faithfulness was something that when I was asked at age 24 what I hoped to be one of the defining components of my life, I said, I want to be a faithful man. Well, I failed in so many ways at that. But faithfulness from God was done for me in a covenantal way and done for you in a covenantal way, that God was faithful to his promises to redeem and to regenerate and to never leave us alone and to be slow to anger and quick to show compassion. It's consistent. It's consistent throughout individual stories in Scripture. It's consistent throughout individual stories in history. That it's not a matter of our faithfulness leading to coming up out of the gravel road into the oasis, into the paradise with a waterfall and with, you know, abundant milk and honey. It's God's faithfulness. So this I call to mind. Again, another aspect of God's intentionality. He says, I say to myself, so great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. So there's a calling to mind. I call this to mind and I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. You know, the deepest, darkest wells of despair, articulating an audible cry to God and an audible praise to God is powerful. Inner speak is one thing, and you can pray in your soul and you can pray in your mind and you can pray without moving your lips, but there is a power. Try it. Try this on. There's a power in reading God's word aloud. I mean, pick up your Bibles, go to Lamentations. You may never have gone there before because it sounds like a funky Freddy book, but go to these verses in 3, particularly 19 through 27, and say to yourself, the Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. You know, how patient are you with your portion? Are you hungry for a double portion? You know, that's the problem with most of America. We have double and triple portions, and therefore we deal with gluttony. We deal with gluttony in a material way. We deal with gluttony in a food and alcohol way. We deal with gluttony in a over pursuit of leisure way. You know, what portion are we seeking? And how patient are we? You know, blessed are those who have learned to wait for him. You know, I'm not going to go down the cliche road of saying, hey, don't pray for patience. You'll be tested, but you will be tested whether you pray for patience or not. But the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. The Lord is good to those who seek him. And it is good, and I'm just repeating the promises of God to you, to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So when we hear salvation of the Lord, again, we go to this concept of being saved. We go to this concept of eternity. We go to this concept of, you know, basically fire insurance. I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. That's salvation, right? That's just a fraction of salvation. To be saved is to be rescued from ourselves. To be saved is to be rescued from the gravel road. To be saved is to be extracted from the jaws of consequence of sin and you know, death that we bring on ourselves. Salvation is new mercies now. It's new mercies now. Not just fire insurance, not just rescue from hell, but to be experience salvation is to be given a perspective like I've got right now. I'm looking down the way, I'm looking to the west, and I'm seeing a storm across an inlet at Ocean Isle. I'm looking back to the east, and I'm seeing calm seas. I'm looking down into, you know, wetlands. I've been given this view, and I know that storms will come, and I know that right now it's quiet enough, and I'm above the fray, and I've got eyes to see. So go, my friends, my listeners, to the 30,000-foot perspective. Don't let the storm be all you see. And if you're listening to this, you're probably over 30, over 40, over 50. You've got enough life wisdom to learn. And you don't just learn from experience. You learn from evaluated experience. You learn from evaluated experience. And you also learn that everything matters. So I began this message today, and I'm going to wrap it up here shortly, and it may be a little shorter than normal, but that's no problem. I don't feel glued to a 30-minute message or 28 or whatnot. But there is there's that list, again, early on in this message, and that list out of Lamentations 3, where, you know, we're talking about the, you know, A is for affliction, B for bitterness, C for crickets. There was an episode in our son Wynn's life a couple of years ago where he was playing fantasy football with some brothers from college, and he lost, and the consequence of this was spending 24 hours at a Waffle House of his choosing. And you may have heard us tell this story before, and you know, it was either that or walk 26 miles from Chapel Hill to NC State or play an instrument he didn't know for 3 hours. And he chose the Waffle House route. And, you know, one of the interesting little distinctions of Waffle House is that one of the things you can order while in Waffle House is these hash browns that are, you know, for Waffle House standard, pretty legendary. And the hash browns from Waffle House, and here's where I'm going with this. I'm going into lists of things. And the way that you can have hash browns prepared are smothered, covered, chunked, diced, peppered, capped, topped, and country. So let me get through this again. Smothered, covered, chunked, diced, peppered, capped, topped, country. It's a list. The list in Lamentations was a list. And how that list can be seen is a matter of whether you're choosing to look at life or choosing to look at death. To be smothered could be suffocated. To be covered could be buried. To be chunked could be dismembered. To be diced could involve knives. To be peppered, you know, you think of being peppered with bullets, being peppered with fiery arrows. Capped, you know, that's slang for being killed. Topped, put in your place by somebody. When I hear of country, sometimes I think of national pride and I think of being put into exile. But to be smothered can also mean this. And this is where the lists in Scripture can point to the compassionate love of our God, who comes to rescue us from affliction, who comes to rescue us from enemies, who comes to rescue us from despair, who comes to rescue us from darkness and from fatigue and from the gravel road. So back to the Waffle House list. Thanks for bearing with me in this. To be smothered can be under the wings of the Lord. To be covered can be shielded by His strong tower and by His shield, which extinguishes the fiery darts of the evil one. To be chunked could be, you know, we've been broken down, but the potter rebuilds us stronger and better and wiser than before. To be diced could be diced with the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of God's Spirit, you know, brings us to the end of ourselves so that we can be remade to be more like His Son Jesus, and therefore free from fear and ready for the darkness. To be peppered could mean that, you know, rather than being peppered with you know, weapons, we can be seasoned, you know. Be the salt of the world. Be salt and light. Be that which preserves truth. To go through life and experience hardship is to be seasoned so that we understand the concept of grace in motion. To be capped is to be crowned. You know, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and the Lord has crowned us as sons and daughters of the living God to bear witness, to be good Samaritans on others' gravel roads. To be topped, you know, it doesn't have to be to put in place. To be, we're put in place by, you know, the capstone, the cornerstone, the rock on which we stand. Country, you know, today Jesus said to His newfound friend for eternity who was being crucified right beside Him, today your country is not exile, but today you'll meet me in paradise. Lamentations, take your grief to God. He can handle it. Do not fret. Don't linger in that funky place perpetually. Instead, call to mind His great love, call to mind His compassion, and remember to say to yourself the promises of God. And be patient, knowing that good things come to those who wait. Father, I don't know what my folks have heard in these various lists today, but for the listeners, for the readers of your word, it does not come back void. There is a harvest of righteousness for those who do not grow weary and continue to persist in sowing to the Spirit and in doing good. Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.